Now, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, the Bible says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Now, Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, and physically, I don't know that I have it today. But I'm asking you, God, to just give me enough energy to get through these next 2 hours. But God, more importantly, I just pray the Holy Spirit would show up and do what I can't do today. I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. I pray your Spirit would convict us and challenge us. God, I pray that you would help us to be so uncomfortable here today that we would be moved and motivated to do missions in a way that we may have never even considered before. I pray that we'd grow in our compassion. I pray that we'd grow in our love. I pray that we would see this world the way that you see this world. And I just ask these things in your precious name. Amen. And I love being involved in missions because it allows me and it allows us as a church to be a part of something bigger. Missions allows us to be a part of something more grand. It allows us to be a part of something eternal, something that's bigger and more significant than anything in this life can offer. I believe with all my heart that Jesus has called us, every single one of us, to be a part of missions, to advance the gospel, and to do so on two fronts. I think God has called us to advance the gospel on a local level. I think he's called us, and I believe that he's called us to advance the gospel on a global level. In fact, I believe that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to be a people sent to the nations. We're to be a people sent to our neighbors. We're to be sent to the places that we work, the places that we play, the places that we live. We're to be a sent people. The moment you were saved, you were simultaneously called into the mission of God. And so as a church, we want to build you up, and then we want to send you out so that you can proclaim the gospel where you live, work, and play. And if we don't see ourselves as sent, I want to ask you this morning, are we really following Jesus? If we don't really look at our lives as being sent, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as those who go to our neighbors and those that go to the nations, are we really following and obeying the commands and the words of Jesus Christ? Now, the big idea today is this, is that the commission that God has given us, the call of God on our lives, is fueled by compassion. It's fueled by compassion. Now, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He made that very clear. I didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to show compassion to those who are hurting, those lost in darkness, those lost in sin. Last week, I shared how complacency ultimately weakens our commitment to God, and it numbs us. It numbs us to the plight and the hurt and the hopelessness that others deal with on a daily basis. I know for me, compassion doesn't always come natural to me. It's just not, it's something I have to really work on. Part of it is my family origin, but I'm one of those people that if you need somebody to come and help you out of a situation, I can help you get a plan for your life. And if you need prayer, I'll send my wife. Amen? That's just how I look at life. Like how are we going to fix this? Compassion doesn't always come natural to me. So going beyond our borders can often seem overwhelming. But I do know this, that every one of us can grow in our compassion. Every one of us can grow in our empathy, sitting in the hurt, the hopelessness that others feel on a daily basis. And I imagine yourself, you've probably felt overwhelmed by the daily grind. You probably feel it. Working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and that's not lost on me. I totally understand that. But I think many of you do care. And for many of you, it may seem like you don't know what to do next or what the next step might be. And understanding what it might mean for you and where you fit in and going beyond your borders, and stepping outside of the walls of this church to engage those who need the gospel. Well, Jesus, in this text, shows us a pattern of what steps we can take to join him in this ultimate adventure, how we can accept his invitation to be a part of the Great Commission. And so the next time you may be feeling overwhelmed or you don't know where to start engaging beyond your borders, this morning I really just want us to look at the life and the love of Jesus Christ. I just want us to take a few minutes to consider the life of Christ and learn what it means to walk in the words and the ways of Jesus Christ, because really that's what it means to follow him. Because what matters most is that many of us aren't engaged in the mission of God. And the scriptures teach us that we can all be engaged in the mission of making disciples. All of us can equip every believer to go and make disciples. Every one of us can be engaged in reaching unreached people. Every one of us can do this. And we can do it here, and we can do it abroad. Now that may seem overwhelming to consider how you as an individual and we as a church can reach a world that is lost. But I think Jesus breaks it down for us in the most simplest way in the text that we see this morning. And the first way that we see this is that Jesus, a person of compassion, declares the gospel. And we see that in verse 35. The Bible says, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel. Jesus moved about from city to city, proclaiming the good news. You see, he had a burden to proclaim the gospel to the forgotten and the far from God. Jesus moved from city to city, and he was just sharing the good news of God. He was sharing to them the hope that they needed to hear. And I keep reminding our church that we gather to be instructed and we scatter to proclaim. Because missions is about taking and proclaiming the gospel where it hasn't been yet proclaimed. We live in North America and you'd think that we are evangelized. But do you realize that 9 out of 10 people that you'll come across today do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And we're not talking about the 1040 window. We're not talking about Asia. We're not talking about the Russia or the former USSR. We're not talking about areas of unreached people groups. We're talking about Green and Christian County. We're talking about the reality that only 10% of folks that live in our zip code actually attend a church and would identify as a follower of Jesus Christ. So 9 out of 10 people that you will meet today, whether when you go out to eat, when you go to Walmart, or if you're bougie, if you go to Target, wherever it is you go today, 9 out of 10 people will not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So missions is about taking the gospel where it hasn't been proclaimed. And there are places in every neighborhood, in every nation, that have no gospel presence. We go and we send and we give to announce the hope that is Jesus. That's what we do. That's what we give our lives to. That's why we sacrifice. That's why we're going to have a missions conference. That's why we're going to set aside a week to consider what God wants us to do this coming year to reach people that do not know him. And so God may have given you a vocation. That vocation, in part, he has given you as a platform or a network of relationships through which you can make disciples. Most of you think you come to church and you think, I'm supporting you in ministry. No. No, it's the other way around. I'm here to help you. I'm here to equip you. I'm here to send you out. You and me, all of us are sent. We're to go beyond our borders. We're to go outside of these walls. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever seriously considered that maybe God gave you your skill not just as a tool for making money, but as a platform for spreading the gospel? Maybe God just gave you the job that you have, not so that you can earn a living, but so that you can spread the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about it again. I just keep saying this, and I want us to really think about it and drill into this reality. But what does it mean to advance the gospel where you work, where you play, and where you live? I'm not asking you to do anything different than what you already do. What I'm asking you is to look at those around you that are without hope. I want you to look around you and see those who are far from God. I want you to look and see those that have been forgotten. Because even in our own church, we have folks that are going through marital struggles, financial struggles. They're going through addiction, and they're dealing with mental and emotional issues, many of which the Bible speaks to, and we can bring them hope. In the book of Acts, we see that the gospel spreads faster through the hands of ordinary people than it does the apostles. God has called you and equipped you. And I just want to say this again because it's really in my heart. But man, if you don't know, and if you aren't praying for and walking with some lost people and for them to come to Jesus, there's a pretty good chance that you don't understand the heart of God. If you don't know some lost people and you're not having meals with them, and you're not spending time with them, and you're not sharing the gospel with them, you probably don't understand God's heart and his calling for us as disciples of Jesus Christ. And we can have all the programs in the world that we want. Man, we can do three circles, we can do evangelism explosion, we can do faith, we can train you, and we can talk about fishing, and we can talk about what it means to see people come to Christ, but it doesn't matter unless we do it. Unless we do it, no program can be substituted or compete with passionate proclaimers of Jesus in the gospel. You are the program. Each one of us has been called. The first thing that we see in this is that Jesus just simply, if you look at the text, Jesus just went throughout all the cities. Jesus went from neighborhood to neighborhood, village to village. And everywhere he went, he just told people about the gospel. He just declared the gospel. That's it. He just talked to people about the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we see that he dedicated to others. The Bible says in verse 36 and verse 37, and I love this, it says, when he saw the crowds. One of my favorite shows on television is Friday Night Lights, and the coach gets up and he'll say to the team, clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. And I really think that as a church, we need clear eyes. I think a lot of times we don't see with clarity what's around us. We don't see with clarity the brokenness that's around us. It's so easy to look right through individuals. Jesus ministered to individuals. Jesus saw with clarity the need of every individual that he ever encountered. I struggle with this. But for Jesus, people were not an inconvenience. They were an imposition. We often think about people getting in the way of our life when Jesus put them in the way so that we can show them the way. You see, they were individuals in need of a Savior, and this is what ministry and missions is all about. And I wonder, how many of us do we consider people to be an inconvenience? If we're to make a difference proclaiming the gospel, we have to see the world through the eyes of God. We must be dedicated to serving. It's not uncommon for us to be so focused on our thing, our adversity, our suffering, our setback, our struggle, our life, our success. We focus on that. We do so at the expense of serving. We do so at the expense of actually sacrificing. And I think few of us in this room today really know what it means to sacrifice. We give and we tip God with our time, our money, and our resources. But a sacrifice isn't a sacrifice unless you give it away and you actually miss what you gave away. I want to tell you today that the world will not be won on spare time and pocket change. God is calling us to step up and step out and trust him in faith, to receive the blessing and then give the blessing. And so it's not uncommon for us to be focused on our thing, so focused that we forget there's a world around us in need of good news, in need of the gospel, in need of hope. I want you to note this today, that selfish people never make an impact or leave a legacy. Selfish people never make an impact or leave a legacy. We get so focused on our own kids, our own success, our own friends, our own popularity, our own education, that we go on about our lives and we don't see those around us that really need Jesus. I want you to note this as well, is don't become blind to the brokenness around you. Don't become blind to the brokenness that's around you. Like the single mom, or the marriage falling apart, or the lonely teenager that's struggling with anxiety and depression and just trying to fit in. Don't become blind to that. I imagine the path that Jesus took was one of those that those who followed him took regularly, but when Jesus took that same path, he stopped and he showed love to the hopeless. He gave them his time. When you go to the mall, you may have seen those funky pictures in the mall where there's all these dots on it. And you got to look at the center of the picture so you can see the picture in the picture. How many know what I'm talking about? I hate those things. I could stand there for 25, 30 minutes and it just stays blurry the whole time. But you know, I never really see what's there. And if I do, it takes forever. And on top of that, if I don't wear my glasses, it's incredibly blurry. You know what? I'm afraid that we don't see what's right in front of us when it comes to the people around us. And we're just going through the motions. We're just walking through life without making a significant difference, without making a significant impact. And we're comfortable going to church and getting our cup full and going through the religious motions. Jesus has so much more for us. You see, when we look through the eyes of Jesus, we have a clarity of motive. We have a clarity of motive. The Bible says that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. The word compassion means to feel something in the bowels. Not because you had pizza or tacos the night before, but you feel it. You feel it on the inside. It's the seed of thought. It's the seed of action and will. Could you imagine going up to someone and saying, "Hey, baby, I love you in my bowels." It's weird. It's really weird. I hope someone says that to my daughters and it weirds them out. And they're just like, "You're gross." It was an expression of love and concern. Jesus' burden was that, listen, it was deep. It was a deep-seated compassion. It was a deep-seated love. You know, the magnitude of Christ's love is measured by the cross. His compassion led him to lay down his life in payment for our sins. He sacrificed everything. He sacrificed everything. Every time Jesus saw a need, he was wrecked. He was wrecked with internal compassion. And if you don't understand this, it tells you how far you are removed from him. And guys, I'm just asking because I've been teaching through this stuff and I've drifted. I'm going to be honest, these messages have kind of convicted me. And it's helping me to come back to center because I realize how little I sacrifice and how complacent and how cavalier I've been to the needs and the plight of others. But man, when you walk in the ways of Jesus, you set aside your preferences. The church will be less about you and more about reaching people no matter the cost. I'm teaching a class on Wednesday nights called Hero Maker, and I asked the leaders of our church, the deacons and our life group leaders and some other aspiring and rising leaders in our congregation, I said, "Hey, what would you be willing to sacrifice in order to see more people reach for God? Whether it's how we do church or whether it's something in your own personal life, but what would you personally be willing to give up to see more people reach with the gospel?" I want to ask you this morning, when was the last time that you were turned inside out in love for someone far from God? I want to ask this today. Are you known by your love for others? Are you known? When people see you, do they know that they are loved by you? Where's your burden? So we see that Jesus had a clarity of motive. When you look through the eyes of Jesus, you have a clarity of motive, but you also have a clarity of brokenness. The Bible goes on to say he saw the crowds and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. And the word harassed just means troubled. And the trouble that they were facing was the reality of their sin, but it was also the religious legalism and all the rules and regulations that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were putting on the people. And then it says that they were helpless, which means to be downcast or to be dejected. Jesus' mission was not a crusade against disease. It was a ministry to an individual person. This was part of his ministry, and it's essentially to ours as well. And those who proclaim the gospel will be loving. And listen, I'm going to say this, and please write it down today, but I'm so weary. I'm so weary of hearing about mean Christians. I'm so weary of it. And I'm so afraid that the churches and followers of Christ have lost their love. They've lost their love for one another. They've lost their love for the lost. They've lost, ultimately, I believe, their love for Jesus Christ. I stood in this pulpit a year ago, and you voted me in at, I think, like 97, 98%. And I don't know who showed up that day to abstain, but I want to talk to you after church today. And when I got voted in, and then Zach got voted in at 99%, he texted me and said, "I got a higher percentage than you." And I said, "Well, less people showed up for you." But I stood in this pulpit a year ago and I said, we will not be a church that's charged nor motivated by political stances. We're not going to let COVID and vaccines or any other issue in the days ahead that we cannot foresee detract us or derail us from the call of God on us as a church. And yet we've allowed these things to divide us when the mission and the message of Jesus Christ should galvanize us to move forward and to push back the gates of hell and to push back darkness and lostness in the world in which we live. Those who proclaim the gospel will be loving. Judgmental Christians will never reach the world. The church is here to proclaim that God loves sinners and that Jesus died to pay for sins. And God was willing, listen, God was willing to bankrupt heaven so that you and I could know who Jesus is. John 3:16, one of the famous verses in all the Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave his only begotten, his unique son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave everything so that we could have everything. There's no sin that God cannot forgive and no sinner that God cannot forgive. And so Jesus Christ himself, you see that he had a clarity over brokenness, over their disposition, but also over their destiny. Look at what he says. He said he saw the crowds. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plentiful." He looked at their destiny. Now I want you to notice this. The harvest is not the mission field. The harvest is not the mission field. The harvest is the end of the ages. We are coming to the end. One day, sooner than we know, Jesus Christ, God's Son, is going to step into heaven. Now, some of you aren't going to be ready. Like that fire alarm that went off today, nobody moved. Like normal Baptist, you just sat in your seat. I ain't changing. And when Jesus comes out of the clouds and the trumpet sounds, you go, I ain't going. Is that the real trumpet? You know, you're just going to sit there. The harvest is the end of the ages. It's the final judgment. Everyone, one day will stand before a holy God. He ministered to people because of their terrible condition. He could see their ultimate destiny. And we lose a portion of our motive when we forget this. And it's easy for us to lose the sense of imminence and the sense of inevitability of eternal judgment. And there's no way to describe hell. There's no way to describe it. Words can't even paint a picture of how awful it's going to be. How incredibly painful. I mean, eternity, we can't even embrace and wrap our mind around what eternity means. Nothing compares. And every person who stands before God on the day of judgment without a personal relationship with Christ will be cast in the lake of fire forever. There's no purgatory. There's no annihilation. They're not going to cease to exist at some point after sins have been paid for. They will be cast into hell and in utter darkness forever, separated from God. And so we go with urgency because the multitudes of unreached peoples have a knowledge of God that is only sufficient to damn them to hell forever. So do we really need a reason to go? No, man, we need a reason to stay. More than 1.6 billion people have yet to hear the name of Jesus. You hear me this morning? 1.6 billion people that occupy this planet with us have yet to even hear the name Jesus. We live in a world where 6,500 people groups remain unengaged with no strategy for church planning or the gospel. And we sit every Sunday in our padded, comfortable chairs here in this church with air conditioning, knowing Christ, enjoying the blessings of God, and yet we have very little clarity, very little missional focus, very little compassion for a world that is lost and dying and on their way to a godless hell where they'll be separated from him forever and ever. And Jesus closes this text and he says in verse 37 and 38, he said to his disciples, he said, listen, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know, after a message like this, it blows my mind sometimes why it's so hard in churches to get people to stand up and step out. Why we can't why we can't get volunteers, why we can't get people to give, why we can't get people to go. I mean, we've lost our sense of calling. Fewer and fewer young people are going to the mission field. Fewer and fewer young people are going into the ministry. And I pray that in the years that God gives me here at Southgate, that we buck the status quo, that we go beyond the level of mediocrity that makes up most churches, and we move with missional focus into an age and into a season and into a history of this church where God blesses us more in the next 10 or 20 years than he has in the first 30 that he's given us. Amen? Oh, that God would do that. And the way that he does that is not through preaching a series on what it means to be a missionary or every member a minister. And that would be my solution. Hey, let's get up and recruit some folks and coach them up. Well, I'm not here to be your gospel cheerleader. I'm here to preach the word of God. I'm here to equip those that want to move and go forward and advance the cause of Jesus Christ. But of all the things that Jesus could have said to reach the world, you know what he said? Pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Just pray. One thing is that we don't need to panic. Jesus said, pray. Pray for laborers to have a vision and a burden for the lost. Because the only thing that advances the work of God is prayer. It's just prayer. That's why we have an altar call every week. And I just pray that God stirs our heart to depend on him. We're not here to recruit volunteers, but we're here to multiply disciples for the kingdom. Prayer is the first and primary means by which we see real success. And there's no need to pray and ask God if we should go and take the gospel to the nations. What is clear from his life is that he's trying to move us to act. And prayer is the opportunity to ask God what he already wants to give us. And that's laborers for the harvest. Of all the things he told us to do, he said, just pray. Our greatest but least used weapon in advancing the gospel is prayer. Last week, one of our older members sitting right here came up to me after services in the foyer, and he said, Pastor Jason, that was a wonderful message this morning. He says, but I just, I'm older, and there's not much I can do. And that just kind of gripped my heart this week, because I don't care how old you are. One thing that every single one of us can do this morning is pray. We can pray for God to resource our church. We can pray for God to move in our church. And you could pray that the Holy Spirit would just descend on us. That God would move in the hearts of those that are physically able to do this and that are financially able to resource this. And those that aren't, listen, sometimes we want to wait for God to write a check. And God says, no, how about you take a step? Get out and go. Walk on the water and see what God does and keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Man, I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your physical abilities are. Every single one of us can pray and we can ask God to move. When you start praying for the lost, your heart will be surrendered. It'll change you. It's scary, but it's worth it. Be careful, because this is the kind of courageous prayer that God will send laborers and he might call you. And this morning, if you're a follower of Christ, your life must be surrendered to his will or you're not really following him. Do you hear me? If you're not surrendered to God's will for your life and for your family and for your kids and for your finances, I don't know that you're really following him. If your heart isn't generous with its time and its money and its resources, we're just playing the game. We're not on mission. Because living on mission requires declaring the gospel and dedicating yourself to people while depending on God and his grace for power. I just wonder this morning, imagine, just pretend for a minute, if everyone in this room, everyone, and that's a big ask, but could you imagine if just everyone in this room took a step this month to engage others with the gospel, going beyond your own personal comfort? I know asking you to come to a missions conference in the next week is going to be outside of your norm. I know it's outside of your normal rhythms, but I do believe it's the most important business meeting that we're going to have all year. How are we going to reach this world? How are we going to keep the focus out there and not in here? How are we going to reach the unreached? How are we going to push back losses? Because I'm going to tell you, when we get our hearts and our minds and our passion on those that are far from God, God will start blessing. God will open up heavens and he'll say, oh, they want to walk by faith. Oh, they want to be obedient. Oh, they want to be surrendered. And watch how God blesses you individually. Watch how God blesses your family. And watch and see how God blesses this church. Now, I want you to consider this. You ever have a day? You ever have just one of those days where you get up and you feel like you're slammed with stuff to do from the moment that you get up to the time that you lay your head on the pillow? Now, how many know what I'm talking about? Amen? You just go, 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 go. Kids have a need. Mom. Boss is calling. And this is my favorite. You got to get on the phone and resolve a financial issue with the cable company. That's a level of sanctification I haven't reached. But you got to get on the phone and resolve an issue with the cable company where they overcharge you by $200 and you're busy just from morning till night, and you get to the end of the day dead tired. You were so busy. And you can't name a single thing you did that day. Nothing on your to-do list. Can I just say this? I'm afraid some of you are going to be like that with your lives. You're going to go from dawn till dusk doing a bunch of stuff, but not doing that which is really significant. And if you're not careful, you're going to go to your whole life busy, and you're going to come to the end tired, and some of you are going to be like that with your lives. And if you're not careful, you're going to go through your whole life busy and realizing that you never did the one thing that Jesus called every one of us to do. And that is this: living a life of compassion that fuels your commission. Living a life of compassion that fuels your commission. How can you go beyond your borders where you live, work, and play? You see, you don't have to go to Africa, but you can be intentional. You can be strategic. Because what we do believe is that your engagement with the mission can start right here this morning by walking in the steps of Jesus as his disciples and his followers. You don't have to be in vocational ministry to engage in this. In fact, I think much of what's limiting our effectiveness as a church is our inability to see that we can take simple steps and we can walk by faith and we can watch God allow us to go beyond the borders and reach people that are far from God and forgotten. Man, our prayer is that God would call some of you to plant churches in other cities and locally and internationally. Some of you might be called to go to the mission field for a season, either on a short-term or a long-term commitment. You may be called to share the gospel with your neighbor, but every single one of us is called to live and love and serve those around us. So this morning, I want to just do what I've been asking you to do for the last several weeks. I want to ask you this morning to go ahead and commit to coming to the missions conference. I want you to commit to giving, whatever that means, and whatever, just consider what we're going to present to you in the coming weeks about how we can expand our generosity to reach more people with the gospel. I want to ask you to make sure that you commit to being here every night and for all the events and letting these missionaries and these pastors speak into us as a church family so that we can be focused, so that we can be strategic, so that we can be unified in what God is calling us to do. And then I want to ask you this morning, because I'm not going to be preaching in the next 2 weeks. We got guest speakers coming in, missionaries. But I'm going to ask you this morning to come to the altar and pray and ask God, where do I fit in all of this? Where do I fit in? What do you want me to do? This week I had someone texting me, hey, Pastor, this is where I think I fit in. I've got others talking to me in my Wednesday night class. They're like, well, I think God's asking me to do this. And it's exciting to see God move. Listen, hitch your wagon to the gospel train, amen? Hitch it to the train and let's see what God can do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of you say to me this morning, Pastor, I know Jesus Christ personally as my Savior. I know I'm right with God. I know that heaven is my home and I know that I'm forgiven of my sins. Will you lift your hand and let me see those this morning? How many of you say to me this morning, Pastor, I don't know with certainty that I'm right with God. I don't know if I were to slip out into eternity today that heaven is my home. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone that's like that that's in here today? Anyone at all? Now, how many of you'd say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I want to commit to engaging beyond my borders, and I'm willing to at least just start praying where I fit in on all this. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? Amen, 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 amen. Boy, hands all over the room. Now, how many of you say to me this morning, Pastor, if I'm being honest, man, I've lost some of that compassion. I've lost some of the desire that I've had in the past to see people come to know Christ, and I've gotten real comfortable and real complacent, And I want to move beyond that, and I want to live the life that God's called me to live. Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you? Yes. Amen. Amen. Hands all over the room. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? Father in heaven, I come to you this morning, and I did the best I could, but Lord, I pray your Spirit would move, that your Spirit would work. God, please. God, help us to see and sense the Spirit moving us and calling us into something significant, something eternal. Help us, God, to just like your Son, going from city to city, village to village, living life, moving about, declaring the gospel, caring about people, one person at a time, and doing so depending on prayer. That's all you've asked us to do. Help us to live that kind of life. Help us to move and live in that rhythm. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, many of you this morning have raised your hand. Let's seal it right here at the altar this morning. If God spoke to you this morning, right here, right now, let's go. Would you come? If God spoke to you this morning, I'm just asking you to come. Respond to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Let be available. Let him work in your life today and be surrendered as a disciple of Jesus Christ.